News Talk 880 and 107.9 KJJR. It's Matt Desch, and joining me on the phone with an update from D.C. is Montana U.S. Senator Steve Daines. Senator Daines, thanks for making the time for us today.
Glad to do it.
So, Senator Daines, the Ukraine-Russian war is entering its third week, and Ukraine's President Zelensky just did a virtual address to Congress this morning. What did he have to say, and what's your reaction?
Well, President Zelensky is modeling for the world what leadership looks like. He's a warrior personally. The people of Ukraine are warriors. They're inspiring the world in their fight for freedom against Putin's evil regime. It was certainly an honor for me to be able to hear from Zelensky again this morning with my colleagues. And let's not forget, I remember growing up in Montana when I was going to school at Montana State. President Reagan was the first president I got a vote for. And Reagan talked about peace through strength. Reagan made tremendous progress on foreign policy because we were strong. It was in a position of strength. We negotiated with adversaries. And contrast that to President Biden, who's weak. And I think of Biden's doctrine seems to be war through weakness. And it's very, very concerning. The world's looking to America to be strong, whether it's in terms of supplying those MiG-29s to the Ukrainians. That's what Zelensky's asked for. And by the way, Zelensky backed away today from a no-fly zone. If you listen carefully what he said, he says the alternative to a no-fly zone were some S-300 missile systems and the aircraft. So I think we need to continue to allow Ukrainian pilots to take those MiGs and add them to the efforts there to defend Ukraine.
So is there any possibility of those MiGs getting to Ukraine that they asked for?
Well, it's in Biden's hands. There was an agreement to do this, and unfortunately, Biden intervened and stopped it. And that sent a message to Zelensky that we're not with them as strong as we could be. But importantly, it sent a message to Putin that we have a timid an indecisive president who one moment they were supporting this MiG idea and then they vetoed it. You don't want to be seen as indecisive and timid when you're up against a thug like Putin. That's dangerous. The best way to ensure that Putin does not escalate this war is to ensure that we are strong.
And as a result of the Ukraine-Russia war, you introduced a bill to ban the importing of oil from Russia. And just 5 days later, President Biden signed an executive order enacting that ban. And then President Biden started looking to Venezuela and Iran for oil. Why isn't the president looking for U.S. energy to fill that gap?
You know, you're asking a question that many of us are asking. It's shocking to me to see President Biden reach out to Iran, reach out to Venezuela, reach out to the Middle East, the OPEC countries, for more oil, when the first place he should reach out to are American oil and gas producers. Why didn't he call a summit meeting, an emergency meeting at the White House, 24 hours, come to the White House and get around a table and talk about a plan to create more Made in America energy? Instead, he shunned the industry and pivoted and was speaking literally to adversaries. In other words, he was promoting killers, not U.S. drillers. I mean, you're dealing with the Iranians. They are a terrorist organization. So really concerning, and I think that highlights, sadly, the ideology and the focus on this woke climate change agenda that many of my colleagues across the aisle fully embrace. It's like a religion for them. We just saw last night that nearly 100 Democrats in the U.S. House signed a letter urging President Biden to declare a climate emergency. This is nuts, and it's dangerous, and that's why it's so important that we push back and fight against these radicals here in Washington. And sadly, it's not just a fringe. It seems to be the center of where many of the Democrats are today in their party.
And as a response to the woke culture, over a year ago, President Biden canceled the Keystone XL pipeline and banned new drilling on federal lands, which made the U.S. more dependent on oil from overseas, and it has caused the price of oil to go up, which in turn has increased gas prices to $4 a gallon in Montana. What else can be done on the federal level to reverse that trend?
Well, the president needs to immediately change course on the Keystone XL pipeline and say, move it forward. He needs to immediately push forward here on additional oil and gas leases on federal lands. He needs to ensure he's not nominating more of these anti-American energy ideologues that are want to do all they can here to kill the conventional source of energy industry. And remember, he gave the green light to Russia's Nord Stream 2 pipeline. I had several Ukrainian leaders in my office back in September of last year. They stopped by. There were eight or nine of them. One was the deputy mayor of Odessa. We had a member of the Ukrainian parliament and a former member of the parliament. About half of them could speak English. The other half couldn't. We had a translator. And so they brought one clear request. This was in September of last year. They said, you've got to get President Biden and Congress to stop the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. Every Republican supported stopping the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, but my Democrat colleagues and President Biden said, nope, we're going to allow Putin. And Biden gave Putin a green light on that pipeline the same time he killed the Keystone XL pipeline. And then the war began. And guess what? Now they're going to stop this Nord Stream 2 pipeline, but it's too late. And that's an example of weakness and an example of yielding to these climate change radicals who seek to literally, they're going to destroy our economy. And it puts us at great risk in terms of national security by these escalating energy prices and dependencies on adversaries for American energy when we could make it here in America.
So is there any possibility of you teaming up with senators from North Dakota, South Dakota, Wyoming, Nebraska, and Senator Tester, along with Senator Joe Manchin, to form a pipeline gang of nine where you all withhold your votes until the Keystone XL pipeline is reauthorized?
Well, it's you know, sometimes these votes we have in the Senate are show votes. It's more than, and I'd love to get the pipeline going, but this is also about the judges that are being put on the bench. It's about the Sarah Raskin, who was nominated in the Banking Committee, who was an anti-oil and gas climate change ideologue that was going to be in charge of basically overseeing banks and the Federal Reserve, but quietly would be seeking to shut off capital and for the oil and gas industry. That's where the battle needs to be fought. That's where we need to have both senators from Montana fighting in the Banking Committee. I was the one fighting against Raskin, but Senator Tester was supporting her nomination. There's an example of where we've got to stop some of these ideologues from having positions of power where they can wield that power and, frankly, wreak havoc as it relates to American-made energy.
And the increase in energy prices is also causing the price of fertilizer to go up for Montana egg producers, which will cause an increase in the cost of food at the grocery store later down the line. Tell me about the letter you sent to President Biden about the fertilizer prices.
Well, on fertilizer, as you mentioned, one of the top concerns I'm hearing from my farmers and ranchers across Montana, and our son-in-law is a wheat farmer, so it's a topic of conversation around the Dean's dinner table often. But as you rightly said, fertilizer prices are skyrocketing, if you can even get it. And so our farmers and ranchers are hurting from these steep increases, and Montana families are going to feel the results of that in the grocery store. I was glad to join several of my colleagues in calling on President Biden to bring down the skyrocketing price of fertilizer by eliminating the vaccine mandate. That's part of the problem here for truckers crossing the border, trying to get supplies up across the Canadian border, as well as increasing American energy production. We've also got to be looking at our mining, our natural resources, potash and other key materials that go into fertilizer. Remember, you've got a lot of nitrogen that is derived from petroleum products, but we also have to get back to the fundamentals of continuing to permit mines in our country. We've got that mine up in northwest Montana, up around Libby. It took 20 years to get a mine permitted because of the environmentalists filing lawsuits and so forth. And these are good jobs. It creates taxes for the counties. But importantly, it improves the security of our nation because it's more than just oil and gas now. It's also these critical minerals that we've got to have. We can't be dependent on China for these, or China will become the future, like OPEC, of critical minerals if we don't start developing them in America. And we can, and we must.
All right, final question. Looking ahead to 2024, there's a report that you're interested in chairing the National Republican Senatorial Committee. What does that job entail, and why are you interested?
Yeah, well, I tell you, I've seen firsthand back in Washington what happens when you have members of the Senate who continually support these climate change ideologues, these liberal policies, higher taxes, wide open border policies on the southern border without stopping illegals, the shutting down oil and gas production in this country. And it's very important that we elect more men and women to the United States Senate who believe in a balanced energy portfolio, who believe in securing the southern border, who believe in a strong America supporting our military. And so I'm going to be planning to have a leadership role in 2024 to ensure that we take back the Senate majority. We should be able to do that in 22. In 24, we need to protect that majority and expand it. We're working hard to that end.
So what does that mean for you as far as you're going to increase your workload?
Well, it'll be additional work, but I'll tell you what, time is short. We've got to change up who's running this place. We got to send Nancy Pelosi home. We need to send Chuck Schumer home in terms of majority leaders and reclaim these majorities. We need a new president in 24. Elections have consequences, and sadly, think about where we're at right now, 15 months into Biden's administration. Literally, the world has changed. It's been turned upside down because of the weak leadership of this president. And it comes back to protecting our Montana way of life. It's important issues of freedom, of the Second Amendment. These are fundamental issues that we've got to continue to elect men and women who believe in limited government and the American dream. And sadly, I'm seeing increasingly more of my colleagues on this side of the aisle who are embracing these very far-left kind of ideologies, and it's just dangerous. And I want to make sure I stay in the fight every way I can.
All right, Senator Daines, thanks for the update, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Appreciate it.